We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Good evening. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Ryan Recker. Yep, this is still Overnight America, just a different guy behind the microphone. The number is the same, though. Would you please use it? Talk to me. It's late at night. I'm lonely. 800-925-1120. I'm actually not lonely, but I do want to talk to you. Let's go back to the phone lines. We're talking about the situation that I actually just saw a couple hours ago where Amber Guyger, the former Dallas police officer, she's obviously been fired. That she is the woman who went into Botham Jean's apartment. Basically, they lived in the same apartment complex. She went into his apartment thinking it was hers. I don't know how that happens, but that's what happened. She says, I was exhausted and she may have been drinking. I don't know. But the bottom line is I am willing to believe that she made a mistake and she's incredibly remorseful and she's devastated. I absolutely, for the sake of argument, believe that she truly didn't mean to kill the man. But she did. She got confused. She shot a man, took an innocent life in his home, who was doing nothing more than watching TV. This was emotional, people hugging each other, the family forgiving her publicly, the family, frankly, setting a better example for others than I'm sure I could have. And now she is wanting to appeal the verdict. She walked into another man's home, shot and killed him for no reason whatsoever. She got 10 years in prison, and now they're appealing the actual verdict itself. What do you think? Let's go to Roy. Hey, Roy, you are on KMOX, my friend.
Well, I'm not sympathetic at all with this police officer because they're supposed to be an example. This is my personal opinion. Sure. I believe it that officer shot that person for fear. I believe she is afraid.
Yeah, no, she admitted that. She said I was scared for my life and because I thought I was in my home and I wasn't. So she actually says that's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have no business, a police officer, they don't have no business being a police officer if they're afraid. You cannot be afraid and be a police officer. You've got to be bold and do the right thing, the law. But I know I work with some retired. I was in security, and I worked with some retired police officers, and they was afraid. They had fear a lot of times. They'd put me out front. Of course, I was the youngest man there. They would put me out front to kind of hide behind me, you know.
Well, I think fear is a human response. I mean, bravery encourages doing something even though you are afraid. So I don't want to say if you have fear that you shouldn't be a police officer. I think that just makes you human.
And another thing, it goes back to the police chief. These officers ought to be briefed really over and over. So many times we hear on TV in the paper where a police officer got in trouble because he done the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't understand anybody being that dumb and do these dumb things that they do. You know, they ought to know if they got any common sense at all. They ought to know you shoot somebody. What if everybody went home tired and wore out and everything and killed somebody?
Well, yeah,
there'd be a lot of deaths going on, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there would be. And that's why I think that I agree that it wasn't premeditated. But at the same time, I'm with you, Roy. She absolutely should do significant prison time. She should be held accountable
yes.
for this.
Yes. Yeah. More than anybody. A police officer should be held accountable more than anybody for doing something like that.
Yeah, Roy. Yeah, go ahead.
I know that you can be tired and wore out and be ill about something, but I was raised up with there. I had three brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We were never in trouble in our lives. The only thing we ever had was maybe a speed ticket.
Yeah,
but we were never arrested. Never in all our lives was we. I'm 92 now, and my brother is 90.
Yeah,
with two of us left. Well, our daddy taught us from our youth. We was taught the right thing to do, you know.
Yeah, Roy, I appreciate the phone call. I've got a lot of people want to weigh in on this, but thank you so much. I'm going to address one thing you just said, so keep listening. Roy just said the police officers should be held more accountable. And I know that this is not going to set well with some people, but I actually agree with that. And that does not mean that I am anti-police. I am not anti-police. But we give police officers literally the power of life and death and to make these split-second decisions. So I actually agree that when we say we are going to equip you to make these decisions on the spot, that they should be not just held accountable, but to Roy's point, I actually agree they should be held to a higher standard. Now, if I made the mistake and went into my neighbor's house and killed them, I would expect that I would be held accountable if it was just a mistake, but I still took a life. Police officers are trained for this. So on that point of what Roy had to say, I actually agree, but I will also maintain that doesn't make me anti-police. I would think that if there's police officers out there listening, give me a call. I mean, I want to know what you think about this, because to me, if you get into a situation where there is gunfire, there is a hostile situation, there's a chase, there's chaos and confusion, I don't think that's the same thing as being exhausted and walking into somebody's home and killing somebody in there by mistake. So when things go south out on the job, I'm not talking about we need to automatically assume that they had ill intent or poor, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But I would think police officers wanting to uphold the standard of what you do for a living would agree that she should be held accountable. She should do significant prison time. And the fact that she's was a police officer should make no difference whatsoever. Still got plenty of time to get calls on this. Let's go ahead and do one more before we pause for just a second. Looks like we've got Michael in St. Louis. Hey, Michael, you're on KMOX.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Michael. What do you think?
Well, I didn't hear from the beginning the topic. I mean, I understand that the officer Amber was, I guess she's appealing the sentence, and, you know, I guess she wants another trial or a retrial or something.
Yeah, she's actually not just appealing the sentence, she's appealing the conviction. So
conviction, yes. Yeah. Which is appalling, you know. I mean, when I heard that she got 10 years, I just, you know, just felt like that's just a slap on the wrist, and she'll probably be out in five. You know, she's probably not even going to do all that 10 years. But the thing that bothers me even more than that, which I never, you know, for the past year, whenever I hear the talk about this story, I never hear anyone say that the whole story of what took place that night doesn't even make sense. And I just have never bought that story from day one. And it's just that they've accepted her account of what took place that night. And because the other person's dead, they just went with that story. That whole sense of walking into the wrong apartment, I was tired, confused. I just don't believe that. I just think there was more to what happened. Maybe they weren't strangers, but there was something more to that we'll probably never know. But that whole story of I walked into the wrong apartment and shot somebody by accident, I just never believed that. And it kind of reminds me of another story we had in St. Louis here within the last year, where there was an off-duty female police officer killed in the home of another.
Oh, right.
Police officer.
Yeah. The Russian roulette story.
The Russian roulette thing.
Yeah.
The Russian roulette thing. But and they came out with a story at first, you know, that didn't quite make sense. But there were still two people who were there at the time that they had to question over and over again to get the truth out of.
Yeah.
And it finally came out what the whole deal was, that there was an affair going on. And, you know, because I think that was supposed to be like an Axel Daniels shooting. But because of this Texas situation, there's nobody else to get their side of the story. We've just accepted her version of what happened. And that just doesn't make sense. And, you know, I believe that there are very few coincidences in life. And what are the chances that his apartment had a broken lock on it, and out of that whole building, that's the one she accidentally goes into by mistake? I just don't believe that.
I get it, Mike.
I think there's more.
Michael, I got to get to.
There's more to that that we'll never know.
It could very well be. Michael, appreciate the phone call. Got some other calls coming in and need to take a quick break right there. Now, I would say this, Michael's like the third or fourth person to call in saying, I don't buy the story at all. You know, and I get that. I, for the sake of argument, am going to say we don't have evidence to say anything otherwise. So even if we accept what she said, that's bad enough to put her in prison for a long time. I've walked into a room and went, why did I come here? We've all done that. That's a whole far cry from saying I was so tired and confused that I walked in and, oh my goodness, there's somebody there. I'm going to shoot him. All right, get a lot more of your calls in. You still got time to weigh in on this. 800-925-1120. Let me know what you think. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Ryan Recker here, Overnight America on KMOX.
Radio's BS detector. Mark Reardon, weekday afternoons at 2 on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's 10:22. Something about this Amber Geiger story just brings out our emotions. So many different factors. Justice, sympathy, forgiveness, faith. Even possibly this could have been one of those stories that turned out to be a racial controversy and conflict. I think because of the dignity that the victim's family showed, it turned out to not be that. But now we may have to go through it all again, and I bet you it's not the same thing. I bet you we don't just have a replay. Amber Geiger, former Dallas police officer, who acknowledged walking into another man's home and shooting him when he was innocent. She said, I thought it was my apartment. I didn't know. I was confused. I was tired. Well, she's appealed her conviction, even though the facts are not in dispute. She walked into Botham Jean's apartment. He was sitting on his sofa watching television, and she killed him. Now, if you find Amber Geiger to be a sympathetic character, I understand. A sympathetic defendant, I understand if you feel bad because she made such a terrible mistake. I understand. We have a lot of people calling in who don't necessarily believe that's what's going on. But it doesn't change the fact that a 10-year sentence, maybe barely justice. It was pretty light. But now she's appealing the conviction altogether. My name is Mike Ferguson, by the way. I'm in for Ryan Recker. I'll be back here Thursday as well, right after the football game. And Ryan, I guess, will be back next week. So I appreciate him letting me fill in while he is gone. The number here, 800-925-1120. Still just ahead. What in the world is rage yoga? Yeah, and the family wants to honor their son, but the Homeowners Association says, no, that's against the rules. I've got details on both of those still ahead, probably this hour. Let's go to Greg has been hanging on. Greg, you're in St. Louis. Hey, thanks for the call, man. You're on KMOX.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
So far, so good.
All right. So I was listening to your first caller, and I'm a little baffled, and I'll tell you why. I have dual citizenship between the United States and Israel, and I spent 15 years in Israel in the army. I was on the Syrian, northern Israeli border, and it wasn't odd to be shot at. And I'll tell you what, anybody that says that they don't fear a situation is either a liar or really, really stupid, because every day we were shot at, I was fear that I wouldn't see my family. I feared that I wouldn't get to a hospital in time if it was a bad situation. Fear is what keeps you alive when you possess a weapon. whether it be a homeowner with a gun or anybody in the military, where you're going into a situation where that you know could be the last thing you ever see again. So as far as her fearing her life, I could understand, regardless of the I was tired, and when she went in and saw the stranger there, her automatic flight or fight kicked in. And as a police officer, she was trained to use her weapon. Now, did she? Apparently, she may not have done the right thing. She probably didn't announce herself as a police officer. She did. He would have been the only person to hear it. My question is, his door was unlocked. Mm-hmm. She didn't kick it in, so there was no forced entry.
Right.
So could she have mistook all the apartment doors looking the same?
Well, that's what she says. Yeah, that's what she says happened.
Nope. Right. So, you know, I'm not sticking up for what she did. I think that, you know, Texas has a little bit more or less stringent law in sentencing than we have truth in sentencing here in Missouri. And being a police officer, she probably, for a first time, it may be the guideline that the judge used. I don't know. But my take on this is that anytime you fear something and you hold a weapon, you're possibly going to use that weapon. And mm-hmm. and I use my weapon a lot, but I still feared so much of the unknown of what I couldn't see that my head was on a swivel all the time. So if you're a police officer in the military, whatever it is, and you're not scared, something's terribly wrong. You've lost the edge to do something because mm-hmm. that fear is what's going to keep you alive. And that fear kept me alive for 15 years.
Yeah.
I won't lie. It was enough that after 15, I called it quits and decided to come home. But, you know, Roy should think about putting himself in the position of if somebody were to go into his home and he had a chance to grab a weapon, I'm sure he's going to grab that weapon and defend himself and protect himself because he fears that his life could be taken. So, as I said, fear is a great motive mm-hmm. to keep people alive. And so whatever the outcome is, just the appeal or whatever, we have to understand that police officers are there to do a job. They're trained to do that. And fear sometimes will keep them alive so they can go home to their family. How many times have we heard an officer walk up onto a car and they were shot point blank? Officer
sure.
Schneider, you know, so I think we're going too much into the she was trained. She was trained as an officer, but she also is a person head of fear. So
yeah, but Greg, that doesn't absolve her from the responsibility of taking an innocent life, though.
Oh, no. I'm not defending
okay.
that.
Okay, sure.
That she was wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was wrong for what she did. And like anybody else that does wrong, you go, you do your time, you get out. And so it's going to be much harder for her to get a job with a record anywhere she lives.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm just saying that my point is that fear can keep you alive.
Yeah.
It could also make you do something stupid. But regardless of anything else, she did do something wrong. She's going to go pay for it
mm-hmm.
in the prison. As a police officer, she's going to have a rough time there unless they segregate her.
Yeah.
And people aren't understanding that, you know, a police officer that goes to prison, their life is in jeopardy as well. So it's just not, you know, easy as walking down, you know, 3 or 4 years and then getting out. She's going to have a pretty rough time where she goes.
Yep, you got it, Greg. I got to get to the news here. Thank you so much for the perspective on that. All right, DD, Sissy, you want to hang on. We got to get to the news and get to the weather report, but you all will be up and you are on deck. I'm Mike Ferguson. Listen, connect with me on Twitter. If you're on Twitter right now, check out at M Ferguson Media. Of course, make sure you're checking out KMOX News as well. Connect with us. Love to be a part of the conversation with you there. 800-925-1120. I'm Mike Ferguson. This is Overnight America on KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Just saw something interesting on Twitter, but we are going to go back to our conversation here in a second. Scott Charton, who's a former, he's now a retired Associated Press reporter who's done some political activism and stuff in retirement. But Scott just posted a few minutes ago on Wednesday, meaning tomorrow, Governor Mike Parson will have been chief executive for 509 days. That is one day longer than his predecessor, Eric Greitens. And so I did not realize that. So the Eric Greitens reign, 508 days, apparently. I didn't count them. But according to Scott, Governor Parson has outlasted Eric Greitens by a day come midnight. So here in about an hour and a half or so. I'm Mike Ferguson, and I am in for Ryan Recker, obviously. The number here is 800-925-1120. Sometimes something comes across the news, it just strikes a chord. It strikes a nerve with people, and this one did. And apparently it has with you as well, because we've had so many takes on this and so many opinions, and a variety of opinions. And I'm talking about the situation with former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger. She's the woman who said, I walked into somebody else's apartment, not knowing it was theirs, thinking it was mine. I was confused. I saw a man there. I shot him because I thought I was in my apartment. Well, she wasn't. And even if, like me, you say, okay, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that and really believe it really was a mistake and you were confused, it doesn't absolve her of responsibility for killing a man. She took an innocent man's life. She got a 10-year sentence, which I thought, and I remember when that happened because my wife and I talked about it when the sentence was handed down. And I said, wow, I said, you know, one, I'm surprised she got that much. But secondly, I really thought she should have gotten more. So it seems to me that she really should be satisfied with that and accept it and take that responsibility. Well, now we find out that Amber Geiger is appealing the sentence. My worry is that this could become an even bigger case when it comes to media frenzy, when it comes to potentially protests, when it comes to all kinds of other things that we avoided this first time around. So had Amber Geiger simply taken responsibility for what she did, even if it was a tragic mistake or accident, then we would be able to move on and say, man, we avoided a potentially culturally divisive situation. All right, what do you think? Dee Dee, you have been so patient hanging on the air here. You're on KMOX. What do you think? Colin from Illinois.
Well, I can't understand. If you're coming home to a key, did she have a key out to put into the lock to go in?
Was
she unlocking the door?
She said the door was
unlocked.
She said the door was unlocked, yeah.
All right, then why would you walk into it? If she opened that door up and saw a man standing there, she's a cop. She should. They tell us, if you go home and your door's open, you back out and call for help. You don't go in there. Why didn't she back out of there and call for backup?
That's a really good. I've never been a police officer. I've never been to that training, but that sounds reasonable to me, Dee Dee. I don't know the answer.
Yes, me too. But then I only got parts of it on TV. But anyhow, why didn't she call for help? She killed him. She's standing there hollering and carrying on. Why didn't she call for help? And they said that she did not do CPR. She did not give him any first aid. And if she said that he came to him, toward her, he was standing there eating a bowl of ice cream. From what I understand, he stood up and she dropped him right in his tracks. He was not coming at her.
Yeah, what we do know is that he was doing nothing wrong other than watching TV.
That's right.
Yeah. Dee Dee,
I finally got 10 years. I'd have shut my mouth up and meekly went and took my punishment. Because she probably would have been out in 5 years with good behavior.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Dee Dee. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling in to Overnight America. 800-925-1120. What is rage yoga? We're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. I saw this headline. I'm like, what in the world? But let's go ahead and get Sissy's perspective on this. Hey, Sissy, calling from St. Louis. You are on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to add some clarification to the situation on my own personal life, that the same incident occurred to me. I came home to my apartment one evening and I had a big hole in my door and the door was open.
Oh.
And I am not a trained policeman. I don't have a gun, so I'm not going to go inside because I'm thinking somebody broke into my apartment and the person might be inside.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to get a neighbor. But if I was, what I found out later, what happened is a boyfriend of the girl living downstairs right underneath my apartment was having a disagreement and was banging on the door because she wouldn't open the door for him, supposedly. So he broke my door, banging on it, trying to make the girlfriend open the door until somebody heard the ruckus and told him that's not her apartment. Anyway, I can see that the woman being a policeman would have the training and certain amount of fear, but not afraid to walk in because she has the training to confront someone who had broken into her apartment. Since the door was open and ajar, I think that she must have thought that somebody broke into her apartment, just the same as I thought.
Yeah, just to clarify, I never read anything that said it was ajar, but it was unlocked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Unlocked. And find somebody. And she must have heard, maybe she heard the TV or something.
Could be. I don't know.
But your first impression is if the door is open, then you think somebody's inside and broke into your apartment.
Right.
And the other thing that happened was I have an aunt and uncle just recently married, and the wife is out at the kitchen and sees a man's face in the window right above the sink. And she calls my uncle and said, there's a man out there looking in our window. And so he's, oh, let me get my gun. So he went to get his gun. And she said, no, call the police. Well, it turned out it was just a man who was blind and had gone to the wrong house. He lived like two houses down. So if he had decided to go out and shoot the guy, you know, would have been a different situation.
Very different situation.
To say that those things do happen, unfortunately and tragically, they do happen. And I think 10 years is certainly more than enough. 10 years, think about that, in jail for a mistake. Maybe a bad mistake, but a mistake.
All right, Sissy.
And I think that's the difference. Doing something purposely and being a mistake is two different things.
Appreciate that.
I just wanted to add that.
No, I appreciate it, Sissy. Thank you so much for the call. Yeah, I don't think anybody, you know, in the court at least, we've had a bunch of callers who question the story, but I'm going to go based on what everybody has said and that it was an accident. But here's the interesting thing. Had Botham Jean shot her, he would have been justified because she's breaking into his home, even if she's confused and thinking it's hers. But that's not what happened. So I understand the mistakes happen. I still do not understand how you could accidentally walk into somebody else's home. I mean, Sissy, I get that the guy was blind and he didn't. I get that. But how you can walk into somebody else's home and think that you're in your own home, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I guess if you're really, really exhausted, but at that point, it does not change the fact that she must account for it and there's got to be some justice. A lot of phone calls on that. Thank you, everybody. A lot of perspective. Some of them I hadn't thought of before, and some of them I agree with y'all, and some of them I just don't, but that's what shows like this are for. All right, so what in the world is rage yoga? I actually saw this on a national news outlet, rage yoga. I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'm also going to tell you why a state legislator in Massachusetts wants to threaten people with 6 months in jail for the word they use. It just depends on how you use it. You can use it one way and you're fine, but use another way, you could get fined and go to jail. Yeah, it's as ridiculous as it sounds. I'll explain. Get your thoughts on it here on Overnight America on KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
You know what? Life's a bitch sometimes. Now, if I say it like that, I would be legal under a bill in Massachusetts. But if my wife or girlfriend broke up with me or spent some money I didn't want and I use that word, then it might be illegal if a certain bill becomes law in Massachusetts. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I'm Mike Ferguson, by the way, in for Ryan Recker. The number here, as always, 800-925-1120, or if you're in St. Louis, 314-436-7900. State Representative Daniel Hunt, and this is in Massachusetts. He's actually filed a bill that's actually been assigned to a committee, which means that somebody is saying we need to debate this bill. To me, I think that a lot of bills need to just be declared silly and not even considered for debate. But State Representative Daniel Hunt, for whatever it's worth, he's a Democrat. He filed a bill, House Bill 3719, if you want to look it up, that would prohibit the use of the word bitch when deployed to, and I'm going to quote here, to accost, annoy, degrade, or demean another person. And so if you actually say that word in a meanie butt kind of way, then you are considered a disorderly person. under state law for using the word wrong. So if you're talking about your young female dog that happens to be in heat, you're totally legal. If you just got back in surfing and you're like, it's bitching, dude, totally legal. You're good. But again, you call somebody that because you want to hurt their feelings, illegal. The fines could be up to $200 or 6 months in jail. Now, listen, I'm pretty much a free speech absolutist. That's just very, very few things I think you should be disallowed from saying. And that has to do with the proverbial, you know, fire in a crowded theater and all that kind of stuff. I think you should have the right to be a jerk. You've got the right to say mean things. You've got the right to say things that offend me. And so he was asked about this bill. And he says, well, one of my constituents wanted me to file this bill. They wanted this done, so I did it. I go, well, first of all, that's not how a republic works. But secondly, he said, okay, so even if it's found to be unconstitutional, it's still a good educational tool and we can strike up the conversation. Again, dumb idea. That's not what state legislators are for. And of course, organizations like the Pacific Legal Foundation is pointing out that, yeah, that's unconstitutional. The First Amendment is not there to protect fluffy, happy, you know, warm and fuzzy kind of speech. It's there to protect ideas and even, yes, words that we don't like and that make us uncomfortable. But it's kind of just, I don't know, I just have to laugh at stuff like this. When I read that a lawmaker wants to threaten people with jail time if you say a cuss word and you do it in order to be mean to somebody. Okay. Do you work out? I play in the amateur baseball leagues here in St. Louis. So during the spring and summer and the fall, you know, I get plenty of baseball time in. I go to one of those kickboxing gyms, not nearly as often as I should. And I love those like home workouts, but if you were to look at me right now, and thank God we don't have the cameras up in this and operating in the studio at the moment, I could stand to go to the gym just a little. Put that phone down, Mike. Jeez. I have never done yoga. My wife has done yoga from time to time. I know a lot of people who do yoga. So I found this story on abcnews.com. The new yoga craze is rage yoga. And I'm thinking, well, what in the world is rage yoga? So glad you asked. Here's what it is. Rage yoga, just reading from the news story, has started to stretch across the U.S. where more new instructors are adopting the practice that includes alcohol, profanity, better watch what you say in Massachusetts, though, and some not-so-friendly poses. And so apparently... you know, I don't know much about yoga, but I know that it's based on, you know, meditation and they play music that's soft and relaxing and you go to whatever that place is that, okay. But anyway, I can't do it. That's why I don't do yoga. But it's the opposite of what you think of with yoga. And there's an article on it at health.com. The woman who founded Rage Yoga, her name is Lindsay Istasi, I think is how you'd say it. And she says, quoting again, it's meant to be a different approach to yoga for those who find their peaceful center in a different way. And if you look at some of the articles, people are striking a pose and flipping the bird and just screaming something. And of course, if you want to get real boozy before you do yoga, I don't know how you would do that, though. If you're going to drink, don't you have to do a bunch of balance in some of your poses, like stand on one foot and put one arm behind your head and stick the other arm out or whatever the case is? You have a couple cocktails before or during. Maybe after, you're not going to be able to do that. Now, I'm all for trying unconventional stuff, but I don't think I'd spend a lot of time doing this. But if you want to know more, I'm going to give them a free promo here. Just go to rageyoga.com. And if you want to become a certified rage yoga instructor, you have to be more than ticked off at the world. You got to be more than just good at flipping the bird. You got to be able to put down $800. And you can be certified in rage yoga. I don't know why that cracks me up so much. Anyway, all right, still ahead here. We've got the news here in just a couple of minutes. A family wants to have a tribute for their son. And then the homeowners association says, rules are rules. I'll give the details on what happened. And I'm driving back home the other day on 6440. or 64, Highway 64, or Highway 40, however you want to say it. And I see a bunch of young people marching across one of the bridges. Well, it turns out that these were the students who walked out of Roosevelt High School and were protesting that their coach got fired. And so I'm not interested in getting into whether or not the school should have fired the coach. But here's what I'm going to ask you once we get done with the news here in a few minutes is, why are we okay with students marching out of class if they just call it a protest of something? We've seen it with this. We've seen it with the environmental climate activists. You know, we've seen it with, you know, social issues, and, you know, we've seen it to protest the president. It doesn't even matter to me why they're getting up and marching out. I'm trying to figure out why we've had this shift that says, okay, students, you get to decide whether you stay in school or whether you go march through the streets and play in traffic. I'm curious as to why, or maybe you're okay with this. Maybe you think this is good citizenship from them or whatever the case is. I don't think they should be doing it, no matter what the cause is. Personally, I don't think they need to be getting up and protesting and walking on the street. And, you know, I don't know what you think. You're changing kids when you're marching out of class. Every kid wants to get out of class in high school. But I saw it, and then I read later in the day, figured out what was going on. That's where my brain goes. Why are they marching out of class in the first place, and why are we okay with it? I want to get your thoughts. I'll tell you mine, the rest of my thoughts on it. You may disagree. That's cool. You may agree. That's great, too. But give me a call. Let me know. I'm Mike Ferguson, in for Ryan Recker. We'll talk about that just ahead.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.